You're listening to the Hog Sports Network Daily Podcast. Now, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Hey, happy Saturday to you. We conclude our time in Memphis here today as we talk about last night's Liberty Bowl, Arkansas 39-26 over Texas Tech. Matt Jones here with Ethan Westerman this morning. Christina Long will be with us a little bit later. We're a little bit sleep deprived. We're up late covering the game last night. But the Razorbacks end their season 7-6 with the win over Texas Tech. And Ethan, I thought it turned out very similar to how I thought it would turn out in that, you know, I thought Arkansas had the better quarterback play going into the game. Well, that was true. Talen Green, big game for Arkansas, over 400 all-purpose yards, 3 touchdowns. Will Hammond for Texas Tech, he played okay, but he also made some mistakes that helped Arkansas along in that game. And then, you know, I thought, too, that Arkansas would be able to take advantage of Texas Tech's defense. That was certainly the case, especially before halftime. First quarter, they had 3 big chunk plays that all led to touchdowns or were touchdowns. And then, you know, the other thing that I said yesterday is I thought that Arkansas's strength of schedule helps them in a game like this where, you know, you look at Arkansas and you could probably say that they played 4 teams that were better than maybe the best team that Texas Tech played.
For sure. And I kind of thought going into it as well that, you know, had Texas Tech been able to keep some of those guys, wanting to play, I know some opted out, like the receiver, Josh Kelly, you know, of course the quarterback had surgery, Taj Brooks ended up not playing. That was a question mark going into the game. Had they kept some of those guys, I mean, they would have been fine. But whenever it comes down to both teams kind of having their not normal guys, and Arkansas does have the stability at quarterback, I kind of just favor SEC depth over Big 12 depth in general. Just there's not anything you can do to make up for the size difference, especially, you know, you just saw the Arkansas defensive line. It just felt bigger to me all game. I think maybe the only sack was the safety by Anton Junkaj, but they just felt like they were really disruptive all game.
Yeah, that was the only true sack, and then there was a sack credited for the intentional grounding toward the end of the game. You take away sacks, and Talen runs for, I think it's 97 yards, sack adjusted, and you throw that with 341 yards. It's the type of dual threat game or dual threat performance that, you know, is why Arkansas and other teams wanted him out of the transfer portal last year. You know, I thought it was probably the best game that he's, you know, I don't know if I'd say it's the best game he's played, but it may have been the best game that he's played against Power Four competition this year. I can't remember another game when he was any better than that.
Certainly. And I think, you know, the only other game that could be up there is Mississippi State. He had a good performance there in Starkville. But, you know, the difference in yesterday and even that game at Mississippi State is he stayed away from throwing an interception. I think 3 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, correct? Or 2-0?
2 touchdowns, 2, no interceptions.
And he had a rushing touchdown as well. But to stay away from trouble, no interceptions was big for him because that's been, you know, kind of perhaps the biggest downfall this year is just his decision-making that costs Arkansas sometimes, with whether it be picks or fumbles. He just stayed away from that last night. And I think it was impressive that he did that with the supporting cast that he had. It wasn't his normal one, but he looked pretty poised. I also thought that it was important last night that they kind of, once the game started kind of getting a little shaky, the 16-0 Texas Tech run, they got him more involved with his legs. I think that kind of got him back settled down a little bit. I think of that drive at the end of the first half that they got the field goal. I think Talen Green converted at least one first down using his legs where he kind of extended on the sideline. But I think that he used his legs a couple times that drive to kind of get him going. And it kind of seemed like that was something that Texas Tech just was not, they just didn't have the athletes on the outside to catch it half the time.
You know, there was so much made about Arkansas and the players they lost offensively. You know, Andrew Armstrong not playing, Jaquinda Jackson losing some offensive linemen. I don't know that we talked enough about how bad Texas Tech's defense had been. I mean, bad enough to the point that they fired Tim DeReuter, their defensive coordinator and their secondary coach, in addition to him. After the regular season when they went 8-4. But last night, just 15 plays for Arkansas with double-digit yardage totals, including some massive chunk plays. I wrote these down. Rodney Hill had a 70-yard run. Talen Green, 12-yard run. Tesla, 18-yard catch, 56-yard catch. Dasmond James, a 94-yard catch, school record. Dasmond James, a 24-yard catch. C.J. Brown, a 12-yard catch. Taylen Green, a 13-yard run. It keeps going. Dasmond James, a 19-yard catch. Taylen for 27. Taylen for 15 running plays. Tesla, a 33-yard catch. C.J. Brown, a 31-yard catch. Tyrell Reed, a 47-yard touchdown reception. And Braylon Russell had an 11-yard run. I mean, these are just massive, massive numbers. I thought they were going to go well over 600 yards, and I was a little surprised when the game ends, and you know, and they're only, in quotation marks, at 559. It did slow there, but for a while, it looked like Arkansas might break a school record offensively. You just don't see these types of chunk plays very often.
Certainly, and on a lot of them, it was guys just kind of wide open. Like, you know, Tyrell Reed's touchdown, I think of it. Just a quick dump off across the middle, and it was just, you know, use your speed, get in. I know Dasmond James, his 94-yarder, he had to break a tackle in there and got a key block. But, I mean, once he broke that tackle, it was like, where is anybody?
Yeah. Where there was the back end? I watched the highlights after the game last night, and it was like every highlight was an Arkansas guy just running for what seemed like forever, whether it be a receiver or even on some of the, you know, on both of the interceptions, they had a chance to return the interceptions for a long way. I mean, it was just like 14 minutes of highlights of Arkansas just, you know, running down the field.
Yeah, for sure. And I thought that it was really important that Arkansas did get those chunk plays early in the game too. It just kind of I know that Texas Tech clawed back, made it interesting, but the tone that Arkansas set was certainly what Sam Pittman, whenever he was asked what his biggest concern was going into the game, he said wanted to start fast. And I just thought that the fact that Arkansas was able to get those, you know, short plays that they turned huge early were pretty key. That just kind of you know, got the fans that traveled into, which, you know, not your normal Liberty Bowl crowd, but they were loud, I thought. And I just thought that was important, that you got, you know, first drive of the game, a big run by Rodney Hill. The next drive, Isaac Tesla, 56-yard catch that was almost a 57-yard touchdown. And then, of course, what Dasmond James did. Those plays just really were tone setters.
So on Dasmond, we talked about this earlier in the week. I said there's going to be a player who has a performance who just totally – you know, I mean, it elevates the expectations for him moving forward. It was Quincy McAdoo here 2 years ago, and then, you know, obviously he had the car wreck that ended his football career. It's going to be Dasmond James, I feel like, after this one in that type of performance. And the question, you know, that you heard from everybody last night was, where's this guy been? And you wrote about it last night.
Yeah, I mean, it is a valid question of, you know, you see a guy do that, it's like, how to come he didn't get much.
There was a suspension earlier in the year with him. There was at least a one game suspension for him.
Yeah,
I don't know if that affected his playing time at all, but anytime there's a suspension and somebody doesn't play in a lot of other games, I wonder if maybe there's some sort of, you know, correlation between it.
And that's one of those things that, like, you had to bring it up, that it, like, scratched something in my brain that I had forgotten, because he was one of those guys that just whenever you go to practice and stuff, it's just hard sometimes to see a potential of a guy like that without a, like, game action, where they're not out there getting to use their track speed to make a big play. And just the truth is, I know a lot of people were asking after the game, like, where was he all year? Had he been getting reps over Satania, I think there would have been a lot of people upset about that. It's just I think sometimes it takes a game like this where you do get your opportunity to then solidify yourself, because – you know, like you said, we didn't go into this with any expectations for really any of these receivers. Just it was just opportunity, and he had one, and he made the most of it. So now he is going to be one of those guys that we go into spring practices asking about him. That, you know, had you said this time yesterday that we're going to be wondering how Dasmond James is doing in the spring, I mean, I wouldn't have believed you.
There were a lot of players who stepped up. Dasmond James, 3 catches, 137 yards. Tesla had a big game in his last outing as a Razorback. Rodney Hill had a 70-yard run, like I mentioned, ended up with 81. Tyrell Reed, the big game. I mean, you know, Pittman said afterward, he said, you know, no, just because they haven't played doesn't mean that they're not any good. It just means there's better players, you know, ahead of them. I will say this about James. You know, you wonder, is this sustainable, or is this just he had the night of his life? 94-yard touchdown catch, it's the longest in program history, broke a 22-year-old school record set by Matt Jones to Richard Smith in the 6 overtime game at Tennessee in 2002. So a lot of, you know, it was one of those things. It felt like there were a lot of things last night that you saw and you're like, man, I don't know if I've ever seen that before. There were 2 safeties, one by each team in the same game. I don't think I've ever seen that in a college game. I have seen it in a high school game before. I don't think I've ever seen it in a college football game. you know, it's just weird stuff. Then I guess that's kind of what you expect to see in a bowl game is the unexpected.
Yeah, it was a wacky game. It was. I remember at halftime, I felt like I had already seen the craziness of a wild full game. Like at halftime, when it was
they had 500 yards of combined total offense at the 11:15 mark of the first quarter second quarter.
It was nutty. That's what it was. The first half, second half was a little bit more just like I feel like normal. Watching a normal football game, but that first half was just chaotic between the big chunk yards that Arkansas got, the long touchdown that Jacoby Williams, the Texas Tech freshman, got, the safety that kind of got it all started for Texas Tech to claw back, and then, of course, what Dasmond did. It was one of those games that at halftime you're like, wow, I just really need to process what I just watched because it was a lot.
I thought the biggest moment of the game was when Texas Tech gets within 21-19, and then Green takes Arkansas down the field. He had three scrambles for 22 yards, had the big pass to James to set up a field goal by Shipley. And then all of a sudden it's 24-19, and it felt like Arkansas took some of that momentum back. They get the ball first in the second half. They go down the field again, had to settle for a field goal, which was disappointing because it had been a good drive. But even though, you know, even if it was a disappointment that first drive, to get those 6 points bookending halftime the way they did, it just felt like that popped whatever air was left in Texas Tech's balloon.
Yeah, I thought that there were kind of two moments I thought were the most just momentum. That was certainly one whenever led down the drive that we were looking at each other and like, I think they're going to run out of time because I think they had one timeout or something and elected to run to the ball and get off another play instead of spiking. It took off a lot of time, but then Taylen Green found Dasmond James and set up a field goal. So that was certainly important, getting those points before the half. And then the other one, I thought, you know, you were kind of waiting, at least I was, in the second half of when does the thing happen where Arkansas just kind of finds a way to let the other team come back. And the Texas Tech was driving, and I think it was Marquise Robinson who picked off in the red zone.
Not the seven.
And that was a big momentum changer, in my opinion, too, just because it felt like Texas Tech was making that drive to get back in the game. And then I believe Arkansas scored after that. It was a long game. I'm blanking on all the possessions Arkansas had. But I think Arkansas scored after that Marquise Robinson pick. And that just kind of, at that point, it felt like Texas Tech was defeated.
I thought Arkansas's defense played pretty well in the second half, especially given what had happened in the first half. Ended up with a couple of interceptions. I don't know how much of this was Arkansas, but there were a couple of fourth down stops in the game. I think both of those were in the first half. Arkansas gets a safety when Junkaj sacks Hammond in the end zone. So they made plays in the second half after, you know, really not making any in the first half. And so credit to them for that. Arkansas, again, winning 39-26 at the Liberty Bowl last night here in Memphis. Want to tell you can get the latest breaking news and you can read all about the Liberty Bowl on our website at wholehogsports.com. We think it's the most in-depth source for all Arkansas sports, analysis, latest in recruiting, unique stories on all your favorite teams. Subscribe today at wholehogsports.com. You can subscribe to our podcast by searching Whole Hog Sports on Spotify, Apple, and we've got a video version on YouTube, and we also put it on our Facebook and Twitter pages. Just search Whole Hog Sports on any of those platforms, and you can find our podcast. This is going to be our last podcast for 5 days. We'll be back on Thursday. We're not going to record another podcast before the end of the year. We're going to take some time to drive home and then take a couple of days off for the holiday, and we'll be back on January 2nd to look forward to Arkansas's SEC basketball opener against number one Tennessee. Are they still number one? I think they are.
I don't think
they've lost yet.
Yeah.
So
either them or Auburn. They're 1-2 in everything. But I think that they're number one.
Huge game for Arkansas out of the gates in basketball. When we come back, Christina Long's going to join me. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over four decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kindle King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute. They are your source for holistic wellness and your healthy lifestyle changes. Located in Uptown Rogers, the staff at Enhanced Healthcare will target your specific health plan for wellness, from neuropathy treatment, primary care, weight loss, and so much more. You can count on the experts at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Rogers. Christina Long is here with me now as we continue to look back on Arkansas-Texas Tech last night at the Liberty Bowl. The Razorbacks finished the season with a 7-6 record, and want to correct a little bit maybe of misinformation that's out there. Sam Pittman gets a contract pay raise as a result of this 7-6 season, eligible for a $250,000 pay raise beginning on January 1st, is not eligible for a contract extension, and that was reported last night. I think it was corrected by the reporter who reported that, but he's not eligible for a contract extension, so he's still under contract with Arkansas through the 2027 season, so this doesn't affect the buyout or anything like that. Of course, next year feels like, you know, with Pittman, it feels like the last 2 years have been, you know, I mean, how many coaches out there have survived the hot seat for 2 years in a row the way he's done? That's, you know, last year, you say what you want about them bringing him back. I give him some credit this year for having a team that finishes with a winning record, Christina, because there were a lot of people that looked at that record in the preseason and said they may be lucky to find four wins there.
That's what I was saying. I mean, I thought for sure. I didn't think they would make a bowl. I thought they were going to have a hard time getting to five even. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I was one of those people for sure. And, you know, I think what you said about him finding a way to turn it into a winning season, him kind of surviving the hot seat, like you said, for multiple seasons now, I think we're going to see that happen more and more because, like you and I have talked about on the show so many times, you're going to see more teams, more schools that are less likely to pay a big buyout because of all of the money that they're about to be on the hook for in revenue share. And I think, you know, we're seeing that already. We're going to continue to see it. And, you know, I'll be curious if we see buyouts change in new contracts, you know, how that sort of changes, how coaching salaries change as schools are trying to kind of cut some costs different places, if the market resets at all. But I think, yeah, we're going to see more and more coaches do what Sam Pittman has done and kind of hang on by doing enough and getting to a winning season.
I stayed up late this morning. I think the game ended about an hour ago, A&M and USC. And, you know, A&M loses that game. They give it away at the end, and Southern Cal beats them. And you look right now at the SEC records, A&M finishes 8-5. That's one game better than Arkansas. And the difference is A&M, you know, doing what A&M does and you know, kind of pulling the rug out from underneath the Razorbacks in the fourth quarter down in Arlington. But, you know, you just kind of look at the SEC, and A&M's 8-5. Florida, think about all the resources that Florida puts into its football program. They're 8-5. They're only one game at the end of the year better than what Arkansas's done. The Razorbacks are better than Auburn this year. They finish with a better record than Oklahoma finishes with this year. And none of that's to say that 7-6 is a great season, because it's not. But, you know, I do think that there's some perspective that's needed when you look around the SEC and say, you know what, there are a lot of programs that are kind of in this same 500 territory as Arkansas is.
Absolutely.
It's hard to win right now, I feel like, in the SEC, probably as hard as it's ever been.
Yeah, and I mean, Coach Pittman himself would tell you that 7-6 is not what they wanted. It's not what he hopes to do next year. You know, he knows that that's not going to be enough long term. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think there's a lot of SEC fan bases that are not particularly happy with their coaches right now. I feel like there's about half, and yet we haven't seen any movement. There's been no coach firings. Whether that, you know, some of that is just kind of how long they've been in that job. Some of that is the financial stuff that we talked about. I mean, Florida, Billy Napier's seat was the hottest in the country probably coming into this year, and they announced a few weeks before the end of the season, hey, he's gonna be back. And there were still people that were like, maybe not. Maybe they're still gonna find a way to get rid of him.
There are people that wondered if he was gonna make it through the season the way it started for them.
I didn't think he would, for sure. And so, yeah, I mean, you see that those things change. I mean, you mentioned Texas A&M, USC. Nobody's happy with Lincoln Riley at USC, but they can't get rid of him. It's way too much money, especially now.
$90 million,
USC,
right?
Yeah. And USC, I mean, they are good for a lot of money, but they're about to have to be good for a lot more. Yeah. And so, you know, they're not willing to make a move on that. I don't know that his seat is quite that hot yet, but it's, I mean, the conversation is coming. He will be on the watch, you know, next season for sure. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, when you look at that buyout, that's what's so prohibitive. And you know, as we get into this revenue share era, and there's so, you know, we're probably going to see athletic departments shrink in terms of support staff, things like that. They have to find money somewhere, and they can't afford to throw it to pay people not to work. To pay them that much money to not coach.
So as you look back at the season, I think we'd all be in agreement that the best win was beating Tennessee, a playoff team, beating them in Fayetteville. Worst loss, probably, not even probably, it was losing to Oklahoma State in Stillwater to a team that only won one other game the rest of the year and finished the year on a 9-game losing streak, and the way that Arkansas gave that game away. It felt like the rest of the season kind of went the way that, you know, like it. Chalk, maybe is the way to say it. There just weren't a whole lot of surprises this year, other than beating Tennessee. How would you describe the 2024 season?
I mean, I think you're right. I think when we were kind of picking, you know, before the season, when we were looking at the schedule, trying to put together, you know, how many wins do we think they can find in here? Mm-hmm. You know, Auburn and Mississippi State were the ones that I think most other people.
So those were winnable.
Yes, winnable. Very winnable. They win them. Great. Yep. I think some people maybe preseason thought Auburn was going to be better than they were. I don't know why people had that idea. There was like no evidence that
there were a lot
good.
Of people that were high on Auburn in the preseason.
And I never understood why. But anyway, I think, you know, the Missouri game is always one that you never know what to do with when you're looking at it in preseason or even in the week leading up to the game, because, you know, you usually can expect Missouri, you know, might win, and yet it feels like they should be more evenly matched. So that's one that's mm-hmm. always, you can kind of flip a coin in terms of expectation. And yet Missouri has pulled out the win, eight times now?
More often than not.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one that's kind of odd. You know, there was some angst about Louisiana Tech. Like, what if they lose to Louisiana Tech when that game came up, just because of, you know, they were coming off back-to-back losses that were bad losses. I guess the Texas game, they actually kept it closer than I thought that they would. So that one wasn't too bad, but you know, the loss to Ole Miss was very bad. And so coming off of those games, and when the vibe was so low, there was some anxiety about, like, what if they can't pull it off against Louisiana Tech? Like, what if that happens? Thankfully for Sam Pittman, it did not. And so I think, you know, I would agree with you that I think most of this went the way that we would have expected in the preseason, with the exception of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And that was what kind of got them over the edge, and that was what helped them get more wins than we thought they would get, because like I said, I thought they would maybe win 4, maybe 5, because I penciled that Tennessee game in as a loss, and I think uh-huh. most people did, and so that really helped kind of put them over that edge. And so everything else I think went about how you expected. Now Texas A&M is a game that it looked like they might be able to win. That looked maybe winnable. Mm-hmm. It was winnable for them.
But I thought A&M was a better team.
Yes, I think they were.
And even watching it during the game, you know, you're watching it and you're like, how's Arkansas up 17-14 right now?
Right. And that game has been that way for a while. And so that's one where it looked like, hey, maybe they could, you know, you don't maybe mark that as an automatic loss when you're kind of looking at the schedule before the season. But yeah, I mean, I would agree with you that overall, with the big exception of the Tennessee game, this wins losses wise, this went about like we would have drawn it up.
I think we can all agree that Bobby Petrino was a good hire as an offensive coordinator. I mean, like you can see real, and we wondered about halfway through the season, you know, are we seeing progress? You know, because the efficiency scores weren't great, and then they went to Starkville, and you can eat on that statistically for the rest of the year. They got a lot better this year on offense, and now if they can keep him next year with the same quarterback and, you know, with some parts returning also on offense, I think that, you know, there's some excitement about some of the receivers they're bringing in, whether it be Sharp from Fresno State or getting Courtney Crutchfield to come back from Missouri. I guess the point being that I'm very intrigued to see how his offense could look in year two, you know, versus what it looked like in this first season.
Exactly. I mean, you mentioned the Mississippi State game. That was a game against a terrible defense, and they put up crazy numbers. Last night, we saw them put up big numbers against a really bad defense. I don't think Texas Tech is Mississippi State bad, but they're, yeah. I mean, they were among the worst in the Big 12. They were a bad defense. And so I think, you know, but when after that Mississippi State game, we asked Coach Pittman, like, is this a glimpse of what Talen can be? Is this what you kind of expect from him? And he said, mm-hmm. absolutely. If we can play better around him, which was the problem all season, people not playing very well around him, you know, not really helping him out in any way. You know, if we can play better around him, then this is the kind of result that we can see. This is more like what we expect and what we want. I think in year two, it's more likely that you get that kind of thing. We've talked on the show before about how, you know, Talen Green in another season with Petrino, we've talked about how the Petrino system can be difficult for a quarterback to learn and to perform well in right mm-hmm. off the bat. He didn't have that much time to learn it. Everybody was new since Petrino was new. Everybody was figuring it out. They've got some offensive linemen back that are used to it now and that can kind of help the new pieces that they're adding kind of get up to speed. That should help when not everyone across the board is new. And so, yeah, I do think that there's a lot of opportunity for them to grow. I mean, you talked about the efficiency and, you know, it was crazy because especially early in the season when there were some questions about, okay, how good is the Bobby Petrino offense? They're putting up all these stats, all these, you know, passing numbers, all this yardage, all this stuff. But then they weren't turning it into points. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, I think next season, you know, that's obviously the biggest stride they need to make is actually scoring. And you know, they had red zone problems. The turnover thing is huge, and so how they kind of build on that is going to be the thing to track all next season.
Arkansas won last night. The SEC chant started. I've never quite understood that, why you chant SEC at the end of a football game, but you know, whatever. The SEC at this point, they're 3-2 in bowl games. Arkansas picked up a win yesterday. Obviously, Vanderbilt picked up a win over Georgia Tech. Oklahoma had that, you know, late game thriller, if you will, against Navy, and they lose 21-20. A&M loses overnight to USC. Florida won its bowl game last week, 1-1 in the playoff so far. So the SEC, Arkansas gives them, I guess that's, you know, you could say that about a lot of games right now, but Arkansas beating Texas Tech yesterday has the SEC at a, you know, positive record in the bowl games as of right now. When we come back, we're going to look ahead to 2025. As we mentioned, this is our final podcast of the year. Not just Razorback football in 2025, but some other things that are on the horizon. But first, a word from our sponsors.
Want to enjoy your life again? Burning, numbness, and general pain in your feet and legs might be keeping you from your daily activities. Neuropathy treatment can be effective to restoring your life. Come see what we can do at Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute in Uptown Rogers. We can treat your neuropathy pain and get you back in the game of life. Enhanced Healthcare Wellness Institute is located at 5102 West Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Uptown Rogers.
At Kendall King, we're proud of over 4 decades of design. We're continuing the legacy of great creative design by combining our brands of Kendall King, Soapbox, and ShopCart. Together, these brands represent a new focus in marketing design with individual attention to specific areas. Through our design expertise supported by a team of talented professionals, we showcase our best. We are Kendall King, we are Soapbox, we are ShopCart, we are Design.
Hey, welcome back. I want to tell you about our friends at Bentonville Glass. They've been serving their community since 1971. Professional, committed, versatile. If you're looking for a quality leader in Northwest Arkansas or looking for skilled craftsmanship, look no further than Bentonville Glass for all your glass market needs with the highest quality products. You can come by and see them at 507 South Main in Bentonville or online at bentonvilleglass.com. 2024 is winding down. On our website right now, wholehogsports.com, we're running a list of stories, if you will. Each of us have picked our 5 favorite stories of the year, and we'll roll those out through New Year's Eve. We're also naming Athlete of the Year, Coach of the Year, Freshman of the Year. That's online right now today. We've gave that to Maria Jose Marin, a golfer for the Razorback women, who actually began when she was 17 years old in college, so younger than most freshmen. Incredible year for her, and we'll continue to roll out some other stories. Game of the year, I think performance of the year is one that we've got listed, so I hope you'll come read that at our website this week. But looking forward to 2025, I guess we'll just start with football because that's what's on our mind. That's why we're here in Memphis. The outlook is what with this schedule that they're facing next year?
It's not great. Yesterday's result helps a lot in terms of the off-season optimism. That's what we talked about on our little pregame show we did yesterday, was about how 7-6 feels so different than 6-7.
I mean, look at Oklahoma and probably how their fans are feeling right now versus how Arkansas fans are feeling this morning.
Exactly. You know, it helps so much to have that. I don't think it necessarily wipes away the problems of the season, but it gives people a much better taste as they go into these months without football. But as soon as you look at the 2025 schedule, it's really hard. It's a lot like, you know, the one prior. It's a lot like last season's schedule in terms of the non-conference being really difficult. They have some really tough road games. It's not going to be easy. You know, it's too early to kind of do the, okay, go through the schedule, win-loss, you know, just kind of early projection. It's too early when we don't even know half of who's on the team. But it's just, it's going to be really hard, especially with the way they've set up their non-conference. I mean, Arkansas State, Memphis, Notre Dame, those are all obviously Notre Dame, but even, you know, Memphis and Arkansas State are really good and will be difficult non-conference opponents. They have done themselves no favors. They've given themselves no easy games. They opened with Alabama A&M, right? And then it's doesn't get any better from there.
But, you know, I think what this year probably should teach us is that what you expect to see and what you actually see can be two very different things. I wrote something before the season that I think over the and it came true this year too, but over the last 4 years in the SEC, there's been at least one team that's improved its win total by at least four games over the year before. And this year there were two teams, as of right now, that improved their win total by five games over last year. Vanderbilt did it. They went 2-10 last year. They're 7-6 now. South Carolina still has a bowl game to play, but they've got nine wins. And so there's that. And then there's always disappointments on the, you know, I mean, like we're talking about Auburn. They didn't live up to the expectations that I think people had for them. And so just, you know, that's what I would say looking forward to the 2025 schedule. Yes, as things stand right now, it looks very difficult, but let's see how things look in July, because it may look a lot different than things look now. And then obviously, you know, the what you see on the field, especially in this era when you have such mass roster turnover every year, I think it is hard to figure out what teams are or to project what teams are going to look like, because there's that element that doesn't get talked about a lot, which is the locker room and about how players feel about each other and how players feel about their coaches and, you know, how the team comes together or does not come together in the off season. And that can play such a huge role in the on-field results.
It can. And you also, you know, there's teams every year that end up not being as good as you thought they were going to be or better than you thought they were going to be. I mean, I think a lot of the teams that Vanderbilt beat this year, probably when they looked at their schedule before the season, said, okay, that can count that as a win. and then look what happened. And, you know, you can say that about a lot of, you know, you can say that the opposite direction too. And so there will be teams on this schedule that we look at now and say, that's a really hard game. And then based on how next season goes, that you might get to that, actually the date of that game, and go, actually, this team is not that good, you know? So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. Like you said, come July, it could all be totally different. By the time the season's actually rolling, it'll be different. But yeah, I mean, I think you're right as far as, you know, the relationship aspect and the locker room aspect. I think Arkansas will have some improvement in that next season, just because there was so much that was new this year, not just in terms of players, but, you know, with Coach Petrino, everyone was kind of starting from square one. And I think now when you've got some people that are coming in that are already comfortable with this kind of system, literally in terms of scheme, I think it'll be easier to kind of, you know, be able to get everyone, you know, all of those new pieces kind of adjusted and adapted sooner.
We're going to find out in 2025, you know, can John Calipari take the Razorbacks on a March Madness run. You know, they got to get to March Madness first. The SEC basketball is so good right now. I mean, you know, I think there are going to be teams that get to the tournament who have losing SEC records just because, you know, the wins that you get are going to, you know, help bolster your resume so much and, you know, maybe help offset. And, you know, and then, you know, the losses that you have are probably going to be quality losses. So that's something that we'll be looking forward to here this year. Women's basketball, what happens with Mike Nabors? You know, I don't know, but it has not been a good non-conference season for them. They'll play UCA this weekend. And then, you know, they'll go into SEC play where, you know, they were picked to finish last in the conference. And based on some of the results that they've had to this point, you have to believe this is going to be really hard for them to win more than a couple of conference games. You know, it might be tough for them to get to 10 overall wins this year. And so that'll be something obviously worth watching. Baseball, I think that this is as talented a team as Van Horn's had in quite some time. The pitching looks really good, but I think that the lineup looks different than we've seen in quite some time. It's a lot more versatile lineup. You've got some home run hitters, but you've also got guys who are, you know, your singles guys. They're going to run the bases a lot more. They're going to steal. So I think it's going to be a real fun year watching baseball. So, you know, and that's just in the first half of 2025. I'll make a bold prediction too. I'm going to say that one of Arkansas's, well, you may not be that bold of a prediction, but anytime you predict a national championship, I think it's bold. I think Arkansas is going to win a track national championship, either men's or women's, indoors or outdoors.
Yeah, I mean, it's probable. Yeah. I'm excited. We've got our next.
Not about probable, but.
I mean, based on history for the last, 20
possible.
Years? It's, you know, it seems to be more often than not. I mean, that's probably. I don't have numbers in front
of me. So I've been spending some time talking to track coaches here the last couple of weeks, getting for something I'm writing for the magazine. I think they like their teams. And they've got some, you know, I mean, no surprise here, but they've got some really fun. I don't know about fun. They got some great athletes over there. Where fun was coming from was that the first meet of the year, which is coming up in like 2 or 3 weeks, I don't know. I think there's going to end up being about 4 or 5 teams there, but one of them is going to be Texas. And so they get to start off the year from a track perspective running against Texas, which that's, you know, Edric Floreal, a former Razorback, is the head coach of both the men and women's programs at Texas. And they've got a great, you know, track program. And so for someone that likes watching track and field, and I know that, you know, probably a lot of the listeners, you know, it's not something that they're interested in. But I would just encourage you to give it a shot because it's a lot of fun to watch. And that first meet, I think, will be a lot of fun when Texas comes in.
Yeah, that will be really fun. I really enjoyed covering track last season. I hadn't really done it very much before. And it is really fun to watch. Even if you don't really know a lot about it, it's very fun to just take in. It's why it's one of the most popular events to watch at the Olympics. I mean, who doesn't want to watch people run fast and jump far, you know? So anyway, I think, you know, our next issue of Hogs Illustrated is going to be a lot of these kind of winter spring sport previews. Mm-hmm. We'll do softball, gymnastics. I think gymnastics is going to have another really great year. They have so many people back from their, you know, record setting year season last season. So gymnastics, softball, track, we'll have a little bit of golf in that too, and then we'll have our big baseball preview issue coming out right before the season starts in February. So we're excited about, you know, all of that. This is, I think last year I remember writing something for the magazine about Arkansas being a spring sports school. You know, you talk about basketball schools, football schools. Arkansas is a spring sports school in terms of, you know, the ones they're best at. Softball obviously has been really good. I'll be curious kind of what this season is going to look like for them in terms of expectation, what they've got back, what their schedule is like. You know, they're still trying to kind of break through in the postseason. And I know Ethan's going to have tons of coverage with that. So, I mean, it's an exciting – the spring is always really fun. It's a reset. You get into – you know, spring football is fun because it's full of hope typically because people are getting excited to get to know all the new – players and everybody in the spring, everybody's really good and everybody's making great plays and looking really great depending on who you ask. So I mean, I think all of our spring coverage will be exciting just because this is where these programs kind of thrive.
Any resolutions?
Oh, man. I don't know. I haven't thought about it too hard yet. I try not to make super strict ones because I don't want to be mad at myself when I don't reach them. I try to just kind of generally think on some goals I have, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm running a 10K in April for the first time. I'm not really a runner. I've picked it up in the last year, so I'm excited about that. 6 miles is a big deal for me personally, so I'm pretty excited about that.
I'm on sleep. I want more sleep.
Get more
in 2025.
Yeah. We'll see if that actually works out.
Yeah, not less sleep. That's not a resolution. More sleep. That's my goal for this next year. So, hey, we appreciate you being with us. Hope you have a happy new year. And again, we'll be back with another podcast on Thursday to look forward to Arkansas-Tennessee basketball over in Knoxville. Happy new year, everyone, and have a great day.